Where's this thing? Okay, not bad, not bad. Okay. Is this because here?
Just in case.
Back up. Okay, so everybody said we left off yesterday trying to analyze this sugya of mana einkan, mashkan einkan. So we have two very, very different approaches in the Gedalia Rishayim between the Ramban and the Rush, just literally what the words mean. Each one conjuring up a very, very different lomdish mahalach. So the Ramban's understanding was that mashkan einkan is a little bit of a overdramatization in the Gemara. It's not really true that the mashkan is here. It's very much here. It's here physically, it's here halachically, and there was actually a shibud that was created. The Ramban's opinion is that Mesiras HaMashkan does create a shibud. The other thing is that it falls short for Kedushin, because for Kedushin, you require more than just a creation of a shibud. It's got to be a kesef, a kinyan kesef, or to buy a field, or to buy a shivcha, etc. It requires a kinyan kesef. And the Mashkan falls short. Why exactly does the Mashkan fall short? So the Ramban almost told us two different ideas. First, the Ramban was talking about the fact that, well, there's nothing really there because the shibud doesn't really exist. It's really b'shus haloiv and not b'shus hamalveh. Then the Ramban almost switched teams a little bit and started to tell us about, well, it's agida gabay, and the person didn't really give anything, and somehow that's a condition with an uchas kinyan kasef. So the Ramban's approach, even though it was hard to fine tune exactly what the deficiency is, there's clearly some type of a shortcoming in terms of uchas kinyan kasef. The shortcoming is not in the creation of the shibud, and the Rush disagreed fundamentally with the Ramban. The Rush took the Gemara's words, mamish kipshutam, mashkin hinkan, mashkin's not here. Not literally, not kipshutam in the physical sense, but halachli it's not here, because the mashkin was not effective. The mashkin didn't accomplish what you try to use it to accomplish. Usually a mashkin creates a shibud. It can't do that, says the Rush. All we find in halach that a mashkin can do is it can address a pre-existing chiyuv. It can take a pre-existing general chiyuv and plug it into a particular item and give the malva the zechuyos to collect that particular item. But the very creation of a chayv in the first place, lo shamanu davazem yoylam, then a mashkin should be able to do. And that's why the kedusha is not going to be chal. So now we began to discuss how this machlekes, the Ramban and the Rush, plays out in terms of bav metziah. So a very, very difficult din, very cryptic din, tucked away in the beginning of the sixth pach of bav metziah. We would never in a million years have thought that the place to look for Ilchus Mashkin would be the beginning of the sixth parak. Actually, a lot of Mashkin is at the end of the sixth parak of Hamitziah, a totally different part of the parak. The beginning of the parak is not even talking about Mashkin. This Gemara that's so pivotal now doesn't even say the word Mashkin. All the Gemara talks about is the workers who backed out from the deal. So they told the guy they're going to come, they brought all the equipment, and then they didn't show up. Well, they left early, and now the guy's stuck, and he's trying to figure out how to pay off the new set of workers. So either in the case of the Gemara, Boschav, Los Aliados, they hire these farm workers, they bring all their tractors and everything, and then they skip town. So now I got to go hire somebody else. So the Gemara's Achidish, I can use their tractors, the value of their tractors, to pay off the debt that I'm going to now owe to the new workers. Let's say in today's world, so I hire musicians to come to the chasana. So I hire this big, fancy, schmancy band, you know, the 17-piece band, and they come, and they set up, and they're all ready to roll. They bring in their what are they bringing? What is Shigasim? What are they bringing? They're bringing their guitars, and they're bringing their drums, and they're bringing their, what else are they bringing? The harps and the violins and all their speakers, Allah, Hakol, Mikoko, all the stuff that makes the whole world deaf. Everything is brought in. They come in, and then what happens? And then as we're going, getting ready for the first dance, we're about to announce, and now for the very first time, Mr. and Ms. Nedham, they're not here. They left. They went somewhere else. But they left all their Mishigasim here. So what can I do? So I could quickly call up another band. I call up, you know, Yanko Schmerl's, you know, other band, and I say, listen, I need you. We're about to have the first dance. You got to come. So these 10 guys come draying in from Lakewood, and they go ready to play, and they charge me an arm and a leg. In the last minutes, they say, they hiked up the price to me. So I can take all of the previous band's equipment and basically sell it and use up to that, not literally sell it, but I'm saying I could use up to that value to pay off the new band. How did that happen? Based on what? So the Rishonim says, based on Mashkin. There's no other way to explain it. So says the Ramban, or would say the Ramban, that's wonderful. That's gavaldik. How did that Mashkin, how did the Mesira of the band equipment, the instruments of the farm machinery, how in the world did that create a Chayv? So the answer is a Mashkin can create a Chayv. A Mashkin can't be a Kinyan Kesef. But we don't need kinyan kesef here. All we need is the creation of a chayiv, so a mashkin can do the trick. So Frek the Rashad himself, how in the world does Monsieur Samashkin create a chov in Bava Metzia in the sixth barak? There was no chov to begin with. So the Rosh says, no, it's not a kasha, and it fits beautifully into the Rosh's theory about Mashkin. So Zok the Rosh, on the back of the page, says the Rosh, those Rishonim who brought a raya from Bava Metzia in Ches Amid Aleph, no, it's not a raya. The Leisa. Two lines at the bottom of the rush. Avalahi de apoyalim, kaven de dover avidu, v'chazu behel, chayovin l'shalin lo ehefsed, hilkach nishtabed lehem mashkin shalem, lizko lavat kidei domov. Zok de rush, the poyalim were chayiv already. The chayiv already existed. What was the chayiv? Based on what? Because they were mafsed the fellow. They're causing an unbelievable loss of money. So now, the problem is we don't have any recourse. We have nothing to collect from. So that's where Mashkon kicks in. The Mashkon is not creating a Chiyuv Yesh Meyayin. The Mashkon is addressing a pre-existing Chiyuv. What was the pre-existing Chiyuv? Because the Poyalim who backed out, who cheated on the Balabas, they were Mafsid HaMaman. They were Mafsid HaMaman. That created a Chiyuv. Once a Chiyuv was created, Mashkon could address that pre-existing Chiyuv. So the Rosh slips by. The Rosh says, that Gemara is not relevant, because there was a pre-existing Chiyuv, unlike our Gemara where there was none. Ad kan devir Rosh. Can someone explain to me, please, what the name of that pre-existing Chiyuv was? A Mafsid Yumaman. What do the words mean? Vishtate is a Chiyuv, because I Mafsid Yumaman. In my book, I have to call that a what? A what? Mazik. It's a Mazik. Isn't that a Mazik? So isn't the Rosh saying that the Poyalim who backed out are Mazikin? And if they're Mazikin, so therefore they're going to collect based on the Mashkin. I have a lot of problems with this Rosh. What's my problem? This is a Mazik? What do we call that? That's called a Mazik? I agreed to you that I'm going to play at your wedding, and then I backed out. You can take me to a Din Torah Mitam Mazik? What's the problem with that? It's the chawat. It's a grumma at worst. It's a grumma. Says that's a mazik means I come and I take a baseball bat and I smash your window, or I throw a baseball and I smash your car window. That's called. I want to give the second example because that's what one of my kids once did. That was the bad news. The good news, it was my car. The bad news is that I couldn't sue myself. So comes the. The bad news, it was a leased car, so I had to pay for it anyway. So comes the Rosh and says, when I agree to show up for a job and I don't show up, this is a mazik. It's hard to believe. Very hard to accept. What makes it even more problematic is Rosh? It's a shtickle overkill. Why? Because if it's really, truly a mazik, so then what? What do you need a mashkin for? The Gemara says the only time you can collect the money is because there's a mashkin there. How is that going to work exactly? If it's not a mazik, a pidin, like we think it's not because it's a gram, it's a dvar and bialma, so then the rush should be back to square one, according to Shittas HaRosh, that mashkon doesn't work in a non-existing chiyuv, l'chaira, a quote-unquote chiyuv that's done because of a hefsid, which is only derech grama, is not enough for chiyuv to create a din mazik. And therefore, it's not enough for din to create a din mashkon. And if you really believe that somehow this is more than a regular mazik, this is somehow better than grama for some deep dark too, which I have no idea why, then hadukush shaduchta, what do you need a mashkin for? It's a very, very hard rush. Unless the rush is walking this tightrope and saying, you know, the Gemara says that grama in a zikin is asur, and if you cause somebody in a zikin, derech grama, you're chayv, let's say, sedei shemayim. So maybe the rush means that a mashkon can address a chiyuv, even if the chiyuv exists only in the level of a day shemayim. Is that true? That's quite a startling chiddush. Very hard to understand that. Very, very hard to understand this rush.
That logic, why do you ever need a mashkon? The purpose of mashkon is to secure you're going to get paid. That you have some other right method of getting paid doesn't mean you don't get a mashkon.
No, but the Gemara makes it sound like you have no right to collect the money. You can't even take the guy to a din Torah. Normally, when there's no mashkin, I can still take him to a din Torah. I may not get it. The Gemara of Metzia sounds like I have no right to take him to a din Torah for the extra amount of money unless I have that mashkon there. So why do I need that mashkon there for? The whole thing is very difficult. The what? You mean the mashkon is almost like we didn't tfisa? Yeah, tfisa does work on dinei shemayim, maybe. And I'm not sure. I don't know how to fine tune this rush. I'm not sure. So I'll go upon him again. The machlokes of Ramban and the rush is for sure in front of our eyes. It affects the two ways of reading our Gemara and Kiddushin. We have this Gemara about Metzia that seems to read a little bit smoother according to the Ramban, but some of the rush wasn't so shaken up with this Gemara. There's another Gemara that we have to address. So it's a Gemara in Bechairis on the 7th in the Ramakomis. The Gemara is talking about the following famous case of Shnei Yosef and Shimon's. I remember when somebody was telling me they were in shul and they called up a fellow for an aliyah, Yamoid Yosef and Shimon. They were so excited. That's the Gemara's name for the. That's like John Doe in the Gemara, Yosef and Shimon. So the Gemara says, what's the din if there happen to be two Yosef and Shimon's in the same city? And I have a shtar that says that Yosef ben Shimon owes me money. So I go to Yosef ben Shimon number one and I say, oh, chop a shtar, state Yosef ben Shimon owes me $100. So what do you think he says? That's my cousin, the other Yosef ben Shimon. So I go to the other Yosef ben Shimon and he says, me? I never saw you before. That's the other Yosef ben Shimon. I spend the rest of my life trying to track down the right Yosef ben Shimon. Do you know what the din is? Each one has a right to say, I'm sorry, I'm not the one. Beis Din throws their hands up, Hamotzer Chayil Avaraya, and I'm done. So what happens? I'm Rabbi Yirmiyah, in the 7th of Ramah Kemis. Zay Se Meres, the Gemara Raya from Adin and Bechayris. Shnei Yosef and Shimon Shara B'Irachas. V'lochu Sadu B'Shutfis. Now the two guys were a little bit foolish. The two Yosef and Shimons, you know, they go into business. It's easy to write up the documents. It's the same name. So the two Yosef and Shimons, they're not related. They have nothing to do with each other. The two Yosef and Shimons decide to go into business together. They purchase the field together. So now the Malva wakes up 10 years later and says, ooh, now's my chance to go get my money back. Why? I'm going to take them both to a din Torah, and I'm going to say, Mamon Shach, that field's mine. So, I don't know, I can't prove who owes me the money, but I know that one of you guys owes me the money, so at least I'm going to get half the field. So, Amar of Yirmiyah Zay, say, Meresh, Neyes, Ben Shibin Shabbi, Yerachas, Lachas, Am Shutfis, Balchayv, Gevach, Isamehem. Inachinami, Tach Rabbi Yirmiyah says, we have a deal from a sugi, Maseches Becheres, that is in fact a din. The Amar Lay, because I have a right to say to each one, Ibadidach Basikna, either I have a claim against you. So I'm going to get from you. And if the chov is against your friend, so I have a claim to this field. There's no question about it. Amar Rava, no. Rava said, even though logically it sounds like you have a claim, halachically you don't have a claim. Why? Michtei nichsei debar inish inun areven bay. Miko midi de day lo mati tovalei. Wow. What did Rava just say? Unbelievable, Mamasha. Pearls, Rava just said. Rava said conceptually, you can't go after the field. You know why? What is the halachic basis of letting you go after a field ever? What's Rava almost asking? What's Rava almost questioning? The principle of Shibud Nechasim. Where did Shibud Nechasim come from? Where does the koach of Shibud Nechasim come from? So Rava says, Shibud Nechasim is, if you think about it, what right do I have to collect from a field? The field didn't borrow the money from me. Calls me that the field belongs to the loiver, that I understand. I'm collecting from the loiver, collecting from his field. But if you already sold it, or you already died as Bais Yorshim, what claim do I have against the field? The field never borrowed the money. So the answer is, well, we have precedent in halacha that I can collect from something or somebody, even though they didn't touch the money. They never borrowed the money. Heichan matzinu davar kazeh. Where do we find in halacha that I can collect from somebody or something, even though they never got the money? Where does that come from? That's tzuchus arev. Anyone ever learned the sukkah of arev? Kedushin of Zion. Everyone ever learned the gemara in the end of Baba Basra? Minani mildas din of arev. Anoichi arvenu. Psukim from Mishle, remember all that, all those halach marsidim, all those dinim, all those bekeiris for the din of Arev. So comes Rava with a winner over here. This is like Lomdus 103. Rava says, is there such a thing? Whatever. Advanced Lomdus. This is like layup of Lomdus. So comes Rava and says, we have two halachas in front of us. At a first glance, they have mamish nothing to do with one another. One is a din of Shibud Nechasim. Shibud Nechasim is land. Another is Din of Arev. An Arev is a person. So Rava, Bamish, Baruch HaKadosh, looked at these two different dinim and said, you know what? They're the same. Tahaynu Hach. Shibud Nechasim is the same as Arev. You know why? The common denominator is, in both cases, Goyve, either Mimi or Mima, Shalom, Lava. I'm collecting from an entity, from either a being or an object that didn't borrow the money. Says Rava, therefore, in Halacha, they follow the same principles. And in Hilchos Arev, we know, you can't go to the Arev first. You don't start off with the Arev. Who do you go to first? You always go to the Lava first. Why? Why is that you go to the Lava first? Because the Arev's Chiyav is Neveya min Halava. If and when the Lava can't show up, doesn't have the cash, he skipped town, we can't find him, so then Nebuchadnezzar, second recourse, you go to the Arev. But you can't start with the Arev, because the Arev doesn't have an independent Chiyav. His Chiyav emanates from the Lava. Zokta Rava, Shibud Nechasim also emanates from the Lava. And therefore, if for whatever reason you can't go to the Lava, if you would try to go to the Lava, you wouldn't be able to get anything from the Lava. The Lava doesn't have a Chiyav. If there's no Chiyav on the Lava, the male is not going to be any Chiyav on the Nechasim as well. And therefore, Rava says, when I take Yasi ben Shimon to court, and I say, pay me back, what does the Beis Din say? We can't touch Yasi ben Shimon. When I take his cousin, the other Yasi ben Shimon, I take him to Beis Din, what do we say? Can't touch him either. So you're going to go get the Nechasim? What are you, crazy, says Rava. How are you going to collect Nechasim if you didn't have the ability to collect from the person? That's like going to the Arev in a situation where the Lava wasn't his Chayev. So Rava looked at Rabbi Yirmiyah and he said, it can't be, you can't go, even afil shteyas ben Shimon, shalachu sada b'shutfis, you can't get that sada b'shutfis, because that'll be collecting from a Shibud Nechasim in the absence of a Shibud Aguf. Zoy shteyde mechayrus. So which Rishon is going to be jumping for joy at the sugya? Which Rishon is going to be so excited to see this Gemara? Which Rishon? This is the Rush. What did the Rush tell us? The Rush said, you can't create Mashkon in a vacuum. Mashkon is an extension of what area of Halacha? Mashkon is a very unique type of what? It's a very unique type of Shibud Nechasim. But it's basically, it's a Shibud Nechasim. Now usually Shibud Nechasim means, I lend you $100, and there's a general lien against all your kakos, etc. That's one type of Shibud Nechasim. Then there's a subcategory of Shibud Nechasim called collecting from a mashkon. Now mashkon is a very, very funny kind of Shibud Nechasim, because generally there's no Shibud HaMetaltlin, and mashkon is so powerful that I can lock in this particular item. That's a very, very unique kind of Shibud Nechasim. That's the parasha of Mashkon. That's exactly what the Torah is mechadish. Shibachutz tamar ve'ishata nesh ve'yetzi alechas avet achutza. Again, the Torah gives us a lot of conditions. You got to be really nice when you take a Mashkon, because you can't take the begad almanah, and you can't take mechayim varachav, and you got to give it back at night, and you have to beis din asadu. You can't lo savo beisai. So the Torah gives you a half dozen breaks on the parasha of Mashkon. But when all the dust settles, Mashkon is a very unique type of Shibud Nechasim. So comes the Rush and says, well, it fits into this general pattern of Goyva Mimi Umasha Lolova. When I give you my car as a Mashkon and you collect from the car, my car didn't borrow the money from you, and you still have a right to collect from the car. That's part of the Pasha Shibud Nechasim. Says the Rush, this confirms my theory. Shibud Nechasim can't exist in a vacuum. Shibud Nechasim can't be created unless there was a Shibud Aguf. So just as in Bechayr Estaf Memches, I can't go after your Nechasim if I can't go after your Aguf, because Shibud Nechasim can't be created in the absence of a Shibud Aguf. Huadinami, I can't have a Mashkon in the absence of a Shibud Aguf, which is exactly what the Gemara is saying in Kedushin Avches. So wow, who would have ever thought of this? This is how the Rush learned the sugi. This is the Chabamish Recha Kodesh. The Rush is learning Kedushin Davches and seeing the Yisoid of Kedushin Davches is this identical Yisoid that Rava told us in Becharis Daf Memches. Not a big surprise. Who's speaking on, who's talking in Kedushin? Who's talking Kedushin? Amar Rav, Amar Rav Nachman. Fits in very nicely. The names fit. Sugi's matchup. Nurbay say, what do you think about, what would the Ramban respond to this? According to the Ramban, you can have a Shibud Nechasim. You can have a Mashkin in the absence. You can't have a mashka in the absence of a shibud aguf. You can't use it for a kinyan kesef. That's a technicality. That's a quirky kedushin of ches. But in terms of dini mamonos, you can create a shibud of mashka in a vacuum. How can you create a shibud of mashka in a vacuum if you can't create a shibud nechasa in a vacuum? What's the difference between mecheres daf mem ches and the Ramban's way of reading kedushin daf ches? Have any ideas?
Maybe a mashkon creates the
shibra. It's hard to see how that relates to the goof. I mean, the goof, l'chari, you have to first paskin up, the goof, and then we can discuss the nechasim. It's hard to understand. Anyways, let's fine tune the Machlekes Ramban the Rush for a moment. Machlekes Ramban the Rush is, can you create Mashkon / Shibud Nechasim? Because Mashkon is a subcategory of general Shibud Nechasim. Can you create Shibud Nechasim in the absence of a Shibud Aguf? What did we say yesterday in the name of Rabbeinu Tam? What did Rabbeinu Tam say yesterday? Who remembers? Rabbeinu Tam was trying to explain why you can't be meicher a shtar chov really truly, even though mechir shtar is a deraisa according to Rabbeinu Tam, but why the malva still retains this chus of mechila. Who remembers? We read the rush together. I mean, we read it together. We said it outside yesterday. What did Rabbeinu Tam say? No. What did Rabbeinu Tam say? Because there are shnei shibudim. There's a shibud nechas and shibud aguf. And the shibud nechasim is nigra bas of the shibud aguf. Once the shibud aguf is nimchal, so memeil the shibud nechasim goes by the wayside as well. Is that idea of Rabbeinu Tam identical to the Rosh in our sugya? Where Rabbeinu Tam said that once the shibud aguf is paka, the shibud nechasim is paka, is that what the Rosh is saying in Kedushin Nevches, that you can't create a shibud nechasim without a shibud aguf? Not necessarily. Comes the Avdim Eluim and says, one could differentiate between the two. Says the Avdim Eluim that it could be that you can create a shibud nechasim without a shibud aguf. That's possible. You taught the Omer that a shibud nechasim can be created in a vacuum. Maybe the Ramban's right. But one thing Zakti Avdim Eluim is clear as day, that if and when the shibud haguf and the shibud nechasim are created, and the shibud haguf is paka, then the shibud nechasim is going down the drain also. Once you were mafkia, once you address the shibud haguf, and you were able to somehow be mafkia that shibud haguf in whatever shape or form you were able to mafkia that shibud haguf, once the shibud haguf is paka, then the shibud nechasim is not going to retain its status. Was it possible to create a shibud nechasim independently? Kenzai. Of Shia. But once the Shibud Aguf is paid up already, once you paid up the Chayv, or you came up with some other creative way of removing a Shibud Aguf, once the Shibud Aguf goes, Shibud Nechasim is following on its coattails. So give me some examples of how you mafkia a Shibud Aguf. I have a full-fledged Chayv in front of me, with the Shibud Aguf and the Shibud Nechasim. Give me different creative ways of getting rid of a Shibud Aguf. Give me the simplest way, not so creative. The easiest way to get rid of a Shibud Aguf is?
Payback.
What? Pay back the Chayv. Right? That's the number, right? That's the number one. Now, we think in such creative models, we forgot the simplest way is pay back the Chayv. So would anybody say, when you pay back the Chayv, oh, that's Mafkir the Shibud Aguf, Shibud Nechasim is still Kayim, you collect again. That's absurd, right? It's Varm B'Talem. Give me a little bit more creative way of being mafkia shibud aguf. Even not so sad way. Mechima, as I state in Rabbeinu Tam, right? As I state in Russian name Rabbeinu Tam Ksubis, that when he's meichel the choiv, that's like it's almost like a tashlumen. It's almost like paying back the choiv. Now again, this touches on things we spoke about in the past. What is mechila? Is mechila mamish like a tashlumen? We spoke about this many times, right? This is Rebbe Chanan territory. Right? Come on, we talked about this year, last year, the other year, come on. Jesus, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, 5 years ago, come on. See, look, come on. First Rebbe Chanan, Rebbe Basar, come on. We've talked about this countless times. So we're not quite sure whether Mechila is a mamish tashlumin or whether it's a see, look. But Beineinu, no matter how you slice Hilchas Mechila, the Shibud HaGuf is Paka Aide Mechila. And Bemela, the Shibud Nechasim follows suit. So we have a very, very uncreative way, very straightforward, balabatish way of being mafkia a Shibud HaGuf, that's by paying the cash. We have a much more creative way, Derech Mechila, and we find the phenomenon in both cases, Shibud HaGuf goes, Shibud Nechasim follows suit. Can anyone come up with it really creative? This is like so super creative, it may not even be right. A super duper creative way of being mafkia a Shibud HaGuf. Gevaldik, unbelievable. Zokti Avim Eluim. I lent the guy $1,000, and his magic name was Yosef Ben Shimon. Unknowns to me was that there was another guy in town who was also Yosef Ben Shimon. So I lent this guy $1,000. There was a Shibud HaGuf that was created. There was a Shibud Nechas that was created. In the Olam HaSal Yoinim, this guy is Chayev. Bez Shomalev, he knows he's Chayev, he's Chayev. But we don't live in the Olam HaSal Yoinim. We live in the Olam HaSal Tachtoinim. So the Beis Din Shomata, when this case finds its way to Beis Din, I come with a claim and I say, look at this. It says, 115 on the Bechir. It says, Yosef Ben Shimon, you owe me $1,000. And the guy responds, that's the other guy. That's the other Yosef Ben Shimon. And what does Beis Din say? We can't enforce this case anymore. Hamotzech v'lavarai, it's over, done. You're never going to see the money again. Beis Din at Kapaskin, that you're never going to see your money again. You know what just happened, Rabbi Yisai? You won't believe it. You know what just happened? The Shibud HaGuf, for all practical purposes, just went up in smoke. Says the Avnei Meluim. The minute that happened, what follows? What follows is there's no Shibud Nechasim anymore. Even according to which great Rishon? Even according to the Ramban, who had this idea you can create a Shibud Nechasim in the absence of a Shibud HaGuf, you can have a mashka without a Shibud HaGuf, Zok the Ramban. It won't serve as a kinyan kesef for technical reasons, but you indeed a mashka, and you can create a mashka without a Shibud HaGuf. But even the Ramban will concede that once the Shibud HaGuf is paka, the Shibud Nechasim is paka as well. Therefore, says the Avnei Meluim, even the Ramban, who was the biggest believer in an independent mashkon, will concede to what Rava said in Becheiris Daf Mem Ches. He will give in to what Rava said, because once the Shibud HaGuf is paka, paka is paka. It's one thing to create a Shibud Nechasim and a Shibud HaGuf, but if the two are created together and then the Shibud HaGuf is paka, the Shibud Nechasim falls by the wayside as well. This whole Nafal HaYesod, Nafal HaBinyan. This is the third, this is a very, very creative way of being mafkia a Shibud HaGuf. So if I would ask you, name the top three ways of being mafkia a Shibud HaGuf, I would say paying back the chayiv, being moichel, and lending money to one of the two Yosef Ben Shimons and coming to the realization that Beis Din can't enforce it. Zoi shteitin avnei meluim to defend the Shittas HaRamban. Anyone have any issues with this avnei meluim? I have a few issues with the avnei meluim. Haley avnei meluim, bilonu. Okay, but Rava. Rabbi Yirmiyah. Okay, good. But Rava, we're Rava. We're Rava people. Efshalvara. What's Efshalvara? So what are you saying? Therefore, what? Therefore, what do you mean to say? Therefore, if the. You read it to say it. Say it. What's he going to say?
Well, the fact that there's another guy with the same name. Why does that mean I'm not Chayo?
What does I? Why does that? I think he's saying the same thing. Why does the fact that Beis Din right now our hands are tied and we can't be mighty the chayv, why does that translate to mean that the chayv is paka? The chayv is not paka. This is technicalities. You're right. What if someday Adam will show up and will tell us, no, that was the guy. What if the guy will be mighty? A million things will happen. Why does the fact that Bezin's hands are tied and Nebuch, we issued a psak called the Mesach HaRaya, why does that mean Afkos HaChayiv? If you would ask me, I would say, the Shibud HaGuf is alive and well. If that's the case, that the Shibud HaGuf is alive and well, so then what? We just made matters terrible for the Ramban, but who else did we make matters terrible for? Then Rava doesn't make any sense. Rava's whole point was that when there's no Shibra Guf, so there's no Shibra Nechasim. So you guys are just guilty of overkill. You can't make the Shibra Guf still here. That's the worst thing you want to do. So it was a terrible idea. Just kidding. So what do you really want to say? What you want to say is the other extreme, 180 degree extreme. What do you want to say? What you want to say is, maybe when you lent money, b'chi ha'gavna, that it wasn't enforceable in Beis Din, that the shtar is not worth the paper that's written on, that is not analogous to there was a shiba that was created and then it was paka. What is that analogous to? A shiba that what? Yeah, I would call that, in a medical term, what we call that? I said before, I don't like unshiri things. That's a dead and arrival shibud. That shibud's not going anywhere. That shibud was never toy face. When I lent you the money and then you paid me back, zolza. When I lent you the money and then achben moichel, zolza. But when I lent you the money, b'chi agavda, the bezin can never make you pay this money anyway based on this shtar, eidim will come, that'll be another parasha. But this shtar is not enforceable in bezin, b'shum panavai, because it's licked in this shtar, it has a written on it, it's got an X on it, called, written against 2 yesim, and Shimon's going nowhere fast. This kind of a shtar is quite possible, this is much closer to a non-existing shibur haguf than it is to a shibur haguf that was parka. And therefore, Hadukush Laduchta, when Rava says that you can't have a Shibud Nechas without a Shibud Aguf, he is not talking about the removal of a Shibud Aguf. What he is talking about is the creation of a Shibud Aguf, Mitchila. And therefore, this Gemara Mecheres becomes much easier to read according to the Sheet of the Rosh than it is according to the Ramban. So the only way to salvage the Ramban is to go down this route of the Ktzais, down this route of the Avnei Miluim, and say that no, this Shnei Yos Ben Shimon, this type of a shtar, is closer to the model of a shibud that was created and paka, rather than to the model of a shibud that wasn't created in the first place. That's a big chiddush. That's a big stretch. I don't know whether that's right or not. But the only way to salvage the Ramban is to say that. Which is strange, because it happens to be the Ktzais himself, in the Ktzais, happens to prefer the other pshat that he doesn't advance to the Avodah Miluim. He, in a different piece of the Gemara, he understood the Gemara and Bechairis more in sync with the fact that the Shibud was never created in the first place. More into the Rosh than to defend the Ramban. I mean, the Ktzais is presenting different sides. He wrote different Sfarim different times in his life. But there's something else troublesome with this beer in the Ramban. There's another problem with the Ramban. This is almost pushing the Ramban into whose camp? You know, the only way we were able to even advance this teretz of the Ramban is to say that of course the Ramban will agree that if a shibud started and then it was paka, so that's going to be mafkir the shibud nechasim. And that was like a given. The Ramban disagrees with the Rosh. The Ramban thinks you can create a shibud nechasim without a shibud aguf, but the Ramban is maskim that once one is gone, the other one's gone as well. And who did we bring as a grandiose raya for that? Who did we use to support that the Ramban must believe in that? We quoted which Rishon? Rabbi Natan. Guys have short memories. What happened yesterday? The Sefer Machna told us that the Ramban for sure was not a believer in Rabbi Natan's theory. The Ramban could not have been a believer in Rabbi Natan's theory. Because if the Ramban was a true believer in Rabbi Natan's theory, then he's got the Agi Gabeis all wrong. Remember? The Ramban said that the Ramban was a believer in the principle that Kinyan Kesef requires a lack of Agi Gabeis. If that's the case, how does Mechirish Tachoyv Lachayrim constitute a Kinyan Kesef? Ferish Gemon Daf Mem Ches. It can be Mekadosh Inisha with a Mesiris Tachoyv, if not for the Smichas Das issues. So Ferish Gemon, black and white. So the Sefer Machna yesterday was struggling with this and said, it's the Chalachav, it's an Ahi Gabei problem. So he said, Zepman Fendo, the Ramban is not a Rabbein Atam man. He's a Rambam, Riffin Rambam man, not a Rabbein Atam man. Okay. And he can't have your cake and eat it. You want the Ramban to be an anti-Rabbein Atam person and then invoke Rabbein Atam to defend the Ramban, that gets a little bit tricky. So we're not convinced, this Helig Avdim Luim, the Mechilas Kvayt Terasai, We're not so convinced. He himself wasn't so convinced. And we're not so convinced that we have a good beer in the Ramban. So when all the dust settles, we have two Gemaras that are impacting on this Machlekes, the Ramban, and the Rosh. Okay, we're learning Kedushin of Ches. Simple learning Kedushin of Ches. We have two radically different approaches to the Rishon, the Ramban, and the Rosh. What is the Tapsat Dvarm of our Sugya? Which boils down to a fundamental question: can you create Mashkin without a Shibut Haguf? The Ramban claims absolutely yes, the Rosh claims absolutely no. We have two Gemaras that show one way or the other. The Gemara of Metzia seems to point the direction that yes, which seems to support the Ramban, and we had to revamp that Gemara a little bit according to the Rosh. And we had problems with our revamping because we couldn't quite pin down the Mazik, Grumma, Dinishamayim part of the story. So that Gemara in Bava Metzia clearly is closer to the world of the Ramban than to the world of the Rosh. But now we have this Gemara in Maseches Bechiras that's much smoother according to the Rosh. According to the Rosh, it reads like a charm. Rav is saying, what the Rosh is saying in Kedushin of Ches, Rav is saying in Bechiras Taf Mem Ches. And according to the Ramban, we got to do a little bit of surgery in that Gemara in Bechiras, and we're not so sure whether the patient survived. Of course, let's not forget that this Machlokes is the Ramban and the Rosh. Just what is the relationship of Shibud HaGuf and Shibud HaChosim, just how linked they are one to another. So this whole discussion is within the worldview of Rava. Because Rava is, again, the Maskana Segemar and Bechor is like Rava, and Kedushin of Ches is also Rava speaking. But let's not forget, Rabbi Yirmiyahu was also entitled to an opinion. Could it be that the issues that we're throwing around in Washington Heights and Tavshanai and Zion, that the Ktsais and Amaluins and Pilpling, same person, was Pilpling about 200 years ago in Europe, that the Ramban was Pilpling about in Spain, and the Rosh was Pilpling about in Germany on his way running to Spain, and this has been an ongoing question, just what to fine-tune the relationship between Mashkon and Shibud HaGuf, Shibud HaChosim. Could that be that was the heart and the soul of the Machlokes Rabbi Yirmiyahu and Rava? That's what the Amoraim were fighting about back in Bavel, back thousands of years ago. Rava was Bechadish this idea, which the Rosh saw as a support for his Shita. Maybe Rabbi Yirmiyahu was more in sync with the Ramban. Now, the Ramban probably wouldn't want that. He wouldn't want to be on Rabbi Yirmiyahu, Hilga Rabbi Yirmiyahu, but we don't want to be on that. On his side, because in the end of the day, Rava prevails, la halacha. But could it be that the Rosh would turn around and say to us, Ramban, you're right. According to the Shita, we don't paskin like, you're Rabbi Yirmiyahu. You can have Shibud HaChos, not Shibud HaGuf. But ich bin Rava. So the Rosh quite possibly would say to you, this is an old machlokes, this is old as the hills, this goes back to the days of the Amoraim. How do you understand the relationship between Shibud HaChos and Shibud HaGuf? It gives us a little bit of good feeling that we know that at least we're on target, at least we're talking about the right topic. If we would have been invited to the Avni Malum's yeshiva, we'd know what he's talking about. And we'd sit in Spain in the Ramban, we know what they're talking about. The Rosh, we know what they're talking about. We'd find ourselves back to Rav and Rabbi Yirmiyahu, we know everyone's talking the same language. Still unresolved, the relationship between these different areas of Allah. So by saying,
what do you do with a case where you borrow money with the Mashkon,
you got to hang in there for the next sugya. Okay? Next sugya is going to touch on that. Okay? So Rabbi Say, up until now we've been working with two biurim in Agamara, but there is the third. And the third biur doesn't appear in the Rishayim in our sugya. It appears in a Ran in Maseches Shavuos. It's a Ran calling the name of the Rimagash. Now we take anything the Rimagash says, we take anything any Rishon says with the utmost seriousness, but the Rimagash is the Rimagash. The Rimagash was the Talmud Muvuk of the Rif, and in the later years, the Rif originally was in North Africa, in Morocco, in Fez, and then after the Mishagoyim there were running pogroms, according to the North African version of pogroms, so the Rif had to run away for his life, and he had to hop a boat up the Mediterranean, and he ended up in Spain. So in the last years of his life, he became a Rashiv in Spain, and one of his, at that kufa in his life, the Rimagash learned by him. So it was from the end of the Talmidim, but it became known as Mamash, the Talmud, one of the Talmidim of Hakim of the Rif. The Rimagash, of course, had a very, very famous Talmud, many famous Talmud. One of his famous Talmud, who was his most famous Talmud? Was the father of the Rambam, in the Maimon. So that's why the Rambam always refers to the Rimagash as one of his Rebbeim, even though historically he probably didn't learn all that much from the Rimagash. It's not even clear whether he ever even met the Rimagash. I think the way the, you have to check the dates and the history books, but the Ram was a very, very little boy when the Rimagash passed away. So maybe he did see him, he didn't see him, I don't know. But he wasn't a Talmud in the classic sense, but he always viewed him as his Rebbe because he was his father's Rebbe. There is a legend, again, I don't know whether it's true or not, that the Rambam supposedly got a bracha from the Rimagash when he was a little boy, and the Rambam said that all his learning came because that bracha. It's a Chassidish Shemais about the Litvish Rambam, and I can't tell you about what to do with that, but that's the way the story goes. But again, but there's no question that the Rambam viewed him as being an extension of his Rebbeim. There is another, I don't know whether it's true or not, somewhere it says that the Rambam said about the Rimagash, that if the Rimagash would have lived in the generation of Moshe Rabbeinu, so he would have also been Roy to be the Makabel Torah. That he was the, again, I can't vouch for the validity of any of the stories, but he was quite a Talmid Chachma his own, right? So the Rimagash of Yosef Halevi, the Rimagash, is quoted by the Ran in Masechet Shavuos as discussing the following Shabbat. We'll give a little bit of a background. The background finds itself in Bamitzia Davdala, those who were with us a few years ago. We spent a lot of time on this. Shavuos might be mikdus. Chazer for a second. One of the gimel Shavuos that was b'Torah. I say you owe me $100, and you say you owe me $50. Asher yomak yehuzeh. So two chiddush min the Torah. You have to give me the 50 that you admitted to. You have to take a shavuot deraisa on the rest. What if I say to you, you owe me $100, and you respond, I owe you 50, and here it is, and you throw me the $50 in my face? What's the din? So what's that called? Halach. So halach is a machlekes atanoi, machlekes amaroim. Is halach also considered to be ma'idim mikdus? And very nice, you pay the 50, and I have to take a shvu on the rest. Or do I say no? Once you're halach, once you say halach, so conceptually what happens? The case is closed. It means there was no din on the first 50, because you handed me the cash. You put it into my face. So the 50 is over. Now what's the din Torah about? I'm claiming 50, and you're denying the whole story. What do we call that? So the Gemara is a machlekes amaroim. So the Gemara presents that ultimately boils down to psukim. Is there a pasuk that excludes halach from ma'idim mikdus or not? And conceptually, the machlekes is: do you view it almost like as the first part of the claim, the first 50 that you not only you made it to, but you put the money into my face, is done, finished, done and delivered, and finished story? And we view the second claim as an independent claim, and it's a kaifer b'kol, no shvuah. But do I say no? Just because you handed me the money, it's still part of the original claim. So it's machlekes tanoim, machlekes amaroim. Fine, but mitzia davdala. What exactly constitutes halach? According to the opinion, we happen to pass halach is potter, so it's important for us in the Torah to know what is halach, what's not. So give me a case of halach. Simple, I give you the $50, I hand it to you in your hand. That's called halach. What if I don't do it like that? What if I say, you owe me $100, and you say, I only owe you $50, and you say to me as follows, listen, I don't have $50 in cash right now, but I'm going to do it as follows. So you take off your watch, and he says, I'm not paying you back the $50. I'm going to pay you back next week the $50, but I'm giving you my watch as a mashgoin for that $50. Here's the watch, and you take it off immediately and put it into my face. Is that halach? It's hard to call it, right? Hard to know. So on the one hand, you are coming forward right away. On the other hand, you're not coming forward with the money right away. You're coming forward with a mashgoin in place of the money to be paid off next week. That's a hard call. Is that called halach or not? So the Ran in the ninth in Mamakim is quotes, Uli Inyan, Misha Maidib Mixalva, Virotza Litin Mashkel Namova, Namalva Biasin Mixus, Imikwe Helech Aloy, Harab Balaita Kosov de Kahelech Domi. So Balaita looked at it very, very practical and said, Tachlis, you're paying back the $50. You're not paying back Mamish with cash, but you're giving a Mashkel, and that's the equivalent of Helech. And therefore there's no Shvud Reis in the rest. Aval Rabbini Yasef Alevi, Zaloy Mer. This is Nishkan Helach. Now, if I would have just seen this machlekes Balita and the Rimagash in a vacuum, I would have said, okay, this is above Metzia Davdalad issue. This is not Kedushin. This is not related to our sugya. This is a very detailed, nuanced Hilchos Helach. Where do you draw the line? Vos is Helach, vos Nishkan Helach. But what's fascinating about this Rimagash and why we're talking about this Rimagash is the raya that he brings. The heavy raya. The Ran says the Rimagash brought a raya that Mashkon, Nesias Mashkon is Nishkin Helach. Midyam Midan Beper Kamed the Kedushin. Amar Rav Nachman. He's actually been Mar Minucha Mashkon Aleh Ein Mekudeshes. Man Ein Kan Mashkon Ein Kan. And then he goes on, quotes the case of the Shivcha, etc. Ad Kan. So the Rimagash brought a Rai from our Gemara. Zetman from Dof Mar Gemara from the fact that he can't be Mekadesh Nisha. Zeven Findo, what? There's Nishkin Halach. Can someone explain to me what the Zetman Fendor was here? I don't see nothing from nothing. So let's think it through. Before we see the Ram's presentation of the Raya, think it through. Would the Ramban bring such a Raya? You see from Akamar and Kedushin, does Nishkin Halach. What do you see from the Akamar and Kedushin according to the Ramban? What's the deficiency in Mashkin according to the Ramban? It's a Chisar and what? According to the Ramban. It's not called a what? It's not called a what? It's not a Kinyan Kesef. According to Ramban, Shiva is Nishkin Kinyan Kesef. According to Ramban, call any area of Halach that you require Kinyan Kesef, you see a Samashkin fall short. So give me three examples where you need a Kinyan Kesef. I need a Kinyan Kesef to Mekadosh Nisha, I need a Kinyan Kesef to buy a field, the Kinyan Kesef to buy a Shivcha. Anybody buying anything here? Oh, there's no Mekachamemka going on. This is Toin Venitan. Rabbi says it's not safe for Kinyan, it's safe for Mishpatim. This is not kinyanim. This is b'metziah. This is in the heart and soul of tainus and tvius and beisdin. I'm not selling anything. So v'shteini kedushin avchestem esiyos amashkan is not halach. Maybe it is. Maybe it's not. I have no idea. But I don't see any raya from this gemara one iota according to the shittas of Ramban.
According to Ramban, the gemara shows that the milvah is b'shus lovah, so therefore it's not here. So just as it's not here, so halach.
Ooh, so that's like a wow. What a that you may be right. But we're going to have to really, really fine-tune that raya. The pashtus advarim is that fenuchas kinyanim luchud, fenuchas tainus luchud. You may be right in the end. But our knee-jerk reaction, I mean, maybe you have a different knee-jerk than I do, but our knee-jerk reaction, our baseline reaction, our hanacha rishayna, is that the Rima Gash is talking a different language than the Rambam. Okay. So let's go down the Rush. We have to exhaust all our possibilities that we're aware of. So according to the Rush, what is that Gemara saying? What is the Gemara saying when it's saying that Mashkin is no good for Kedushin? What's the Gemara really saying behind the scenes, behind the lines? The Mashkin can't what? Can't create a Shibud. Is that relevant to the Halach discussion? And the Halach discussion, when the guy says, I owe you the $50, his Hodah just created a what? There is a Shibud here. He was made in Nixus. So there is a shibud here. And now when he takes his watch off and hands off the watch, that's not meaningless according to the Rush. This is regular mashkan. It's mashkan kol terkula. Kisasha berecha mashas be'uma. The chutz tamar v'yishata tzeneishabai. Once the chayv was created, we know the chayv is created. He just gave us aldos baldin. So we have no shayla that chayv is confirmed for $50. When the guy takes off his watch, that's perfect. That's a perfect implementation of Chas Mashkan. The Rush in a million years would never say what the Rima Gash just said. So that's what the Ranz writes. V'acherim deichim. There are others who refute the Raya of the Rima Gash. V'acherim deichim Raya zilviyomim jayin didin damla Raya. The hasam shlon is chayiv b'mana af a mashkin in a klum. The kem de ein kan chayiv v'yein dit v'as mashkin zeh. Av al kan shikman is chayiv lo. V'niach mashkin alav, mashkin yesh kan ukan alay. Who is those achayrim doichim in effect? Who is those achayrim? Who is that? It's the Rush. Mamash ran out of the Rush's textbook. That's the Rush. But the Ram literally was referring to the Rush. The Ram is quoting to those shittas who go in b'ikvas a Rush. So the pashas that dvarim is that the Rima Gash is non-comprehensible in light of the different view that we've seen in Agamar. Which leads us to believe that there has to be something else going on. There has to be an alternate way of reading the Gemara condition of Ches, which will be the background for the Rima Gash. And that's exactly where the Ran takes over. Ulefi daiti yofa oimer Rabbi Yosef Alevi Zal, the elu shedochu rayosai, those who disproved his raya, lo yordu l'sof daitai. They disproved his raya. They refuted his raya because they didn't understand the raya. You know why they didn't understand the raya? Because they were looking at the Gemara and Kedushin through the eyes of Ramban and Rashi's, and those are not the way to look at the Gemara and Kedushin of Ches. What is the correct way? He goes on, says the Ran. The cave of the Kaimalon, the Milva in a Kenebe Mecher, Kid Yarmini Rebrech Ish Mekadesh. Gabi Vishovim Bemechesh Zekonoi. Vimilvela Tsa Nitna. Bamekonoi. That's the quote out of the Gemara in Kiddush Mem Zayin. Nimtza Shemashkin Ze Eno Nikna Be'Isa Milva. The Ran is talking a legamri different language now. The Ran is not talking about the inability of Mashkon to create a Kinyan Keser. The Ran is not talking the language of the Rosh either, the inability to create a Mashkon in the absence of a Chayiv. The Ran is talking a third language. What's the third language? The inability to transfer ownership on a Mashkon. You know why? Because the only way to transfer ownership in Halacha is through the mechanism of what? Two magic words, Maisa Kinyan. And there is no Maisa Kinyan that's going to work for us. Now, we're using the words Maisa Kinyan, but don't confuse this with the Ramban's Maisa Kinyan. The Ramban's Maisa Kinyan meant we can't use a Mesiris HaMashkon to create a Maisa Kinyan Kesef to become a woman. That's not what the Ran is saying, the Rivagash. What the Ran is saying is that how are you going to get the Mashkon from one place to another? The only way for a Mashkon to be efficient, it has to be transferred first. You got to get it from point A to point B. That's your goal. You got to get some carrier in there. You got to get a plane to take that Mashkon. You got to get a boat. You got to get a truck. You got to get a bicycle. That Mashkon's got to get from one Rishus to another in order for it to be Typeface.
You said he handed him his watch.
How are you going to do it? So Mr. Walton, you handed him his watch. Sounds simple. Sounds like a cinch. What kid did you just call that? Mashiach Agba. So the Ran's going to tell you, boy, that's not a valid Kinyan. We've got a long way to go. So the Ran is about to now dissect what just happened. When Reuven hands Shimon the watch, the Ran's going to show you why there is no Maisa Kinyan that's going to address that. And he's going to go through all the steps, all the possibilities. And he's going to walk you through the different potential Maisa Kinyan and show you why each one fails for different reasons. And since every single one fails, he's going to throw his hands up and he's going to say, that's why in Maseches Kedushin, the Kedushin is in Chal, because the Mashkon didn't get anywhere. It never made it from the man to the woman. It may have made it physically, but halakhically it never transferred into the woman's Rishos. That's why the Kedushin is in Chal. And since that Mashkon never transferred, what we saw was meaningless in Halacha. The same way that it didn't transfer from Chosin to Kala, who else did it not transfer from? In Babetzia Davdalid, from the Loiva to the Malve. So in effect, when the Loiva said, I agree, I owe you 50, and here's my watch, the Halacha states about that statement of, here's my watch, Batel Umavutel Oshar V'Lokayim. So that's the Halacha equivalent of saying, I owe you $50, I will pay you at a later point. What do we call that, Rabbi Say? Maidib Mikzas. What do we not call that? Haloch. So the Ran and the Rimagash have to connect the dots. They have to show you why each Maisa Kinyan that was eligible to transfer ownership is going to fail for different reasons. If and when we understand the failures of each Maisa Kinyan, then we'll appreciate the godless of the Shitas and Rimagash. So don't feel, you know, if you don't understand the Rimagash yet, don't feel bad yet, because the Ran claims, the G'dayli HaRishayinim lo yardu l'sof da'itay. The Da'ichim Rayosa lo yardu l'sof da'itay. So hopefully the Ran will help us be yardu l'sof da'as and the Helig HaRimagash. Mention tomorrow.